One of my favorite Christmas songs is a traditional one, is "O Holy Night." I sang it back in the day as a solo, back in church. There's so many good versions of it if you look it up. It's got this massive, big vocal line, beautiful background music, and it's just really cool, and a lot of people have sung it. And we actually talked about that song this past Sunday, a few days ago, if you were with us. We talked about the lyric, "The Thrill of Hope," the thrill of hope, and how we find that hope in the resurrection of Jesus. Well, today, being Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus, but the next line of the song is going to be our focal point, and that's right up here. "The weary world rejoices" is the next line. We're going to say that tonight. That's our title. That's what we'll talk about, that even if we feel weary, we can rejoice, meaning we can have joy in the birth and in the presence of Jesus. So I want us to think about this when it comes to joy, too, so we understand joy well, and that is, joy doesn't change circumstance. Joy invades circumstance. Joy doesn't change circumstance, joy invades circumstance. We're going to get to that piece in a little bit. But for now, we're going to read a portion of the traditional Christmas story from Luke's gospel, and then we'll break it down with kind of that feeling of weariness, but how joy invades that. So we're going to start Luke chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 8. It's bookmarked on your table. Chris will have it up here. We're going to start in verse 8. In verses 1 through 7, we hear kind of some of the traditional Christmas story parts where Joseph and Mary, they go to Bethlehem, Jesus is born, right? She places Jesus in the manger, all that good stuff. But we're going to pick it up in verse 8 and see what happens here. So this will be Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. This will be our passage for the night. It says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." All right, so we hear about the shepherds right off the bat, and they're going to be our featured characters for tonight. Yes, Jesus is all important and everything like that, but I think we can relate a little bit more to the shepherds. That's who we're gonna focus on. They were a lowly occupation of the day. Shepherds were not looked highly upon. They were social outcasts. They were known to be dishonorable, like you wouldn't call them as a witness in a court case. Their work made them ceremonially unclean. They had to be out at all hours of the night and the day taking care of the animals. If anybody might be able to be identified as weary, it's probably our friends, the shepherds. But this angel appears to them. And it says this angel brings good news that will bring them joy. Joy to the shepherds. Nobody gave anything good to the shepherds. People stayed away from the shepherds. They're not the recipients of good news ever at any time, but the angel brings them good news. Good news about the Savior. The Messiah is born. This Messiah, the Savior, the good news is for all people, including the shepherds, the weary, downtrodden, outcast shepherds. And now more angels show up and they start praising God. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth in whom his favor rests. His favor, God's favor, is now on the angels and the shepherds. The shepherds are like, "We gotta go. We gotta go check this thing out. We have to go. We have to go see it." Like, they're excited. I'd be skeptical. Like, I feel like all week I've been getting blown up with spam calls, right, that are trying to, like, trap me into something. I'd be like, "No, scam, silence it," right? The shepherds go. They choose to go, and they see what happened. And they spread the word. They see it. They come back to work. They go back to being shepherds, that weary, outcast job, but now they have the joy and the birth of Jesus in their lives. I want to unpack that idea of weary world rejoicing. I want you to imagine something for a minute. Maybe it's not too tough to imagine. It's Christmas Eve, which it is, okay? You've done all the prepping, right? You've wrapped the presents. You're ready for the parties. You've decorated, right? Everything's all just as it should be. You've made the cookies. You've eaten the cookies. Oh, so many cookies, right? You're like, I don't want to do anything more. I'm done, right? I'm totally over it. Chris, put up the next slide. Now I'm going to give you all these ingredients. I'll put them right in front of you and say, go, right? Flour, molasses, eggs, salt, cinnamon, ginger, brown sugar. You haven't figured it out. This is ingredients to a recipe, right? And you're thinking, no. I don't want to make another cookie. I'm tired of cookies. Jeff, I'm going to throw all those ingredients at you because I want nothing to do with them. Well, these happen to be the ingredients to a gingerbread cookie, which is one of my favorites. That's why we did that. So to dissect rejoicing in a weary world, we're going to use a gingerbread cookie kind of as our way of looking at this. Now, if that sounds weird and you're like, dude, what's going through your head? Commiserate with my wife later. She thinks that every day. Okay? But here we're doing. I love gingerbread cookies, and they're on your table. That's why we have them. Maybe you're exhausted tonight just from getting ready for this whole season of Christmas, from eating all the cookies, from all the sweets, from getting everything ready. Maybe you're exhausted. You're tired. You're weary. Or maybe life just does that to you, makes you weary. And I feel like that word weary, we know what it feels like, but we don't always put words to it, right? It can be extreme tiredness or extreme exhaustion. It can be a reluctance to experience more of something, basically saying, I am just done with whatever that thing is. I'm over it. Now, biblically, it's all those things, but they would add spiritual exhaustion and that your heart is just worn out. It's had too much. You ever feel that way? Right? You're just spent and like nothing seems to help, right? Like you're convinced that coffee must be decaf because it's not doing anything, right? Or sleep is elusive. Or you finally get to sit down in that chair and you're like, dang, man, I don't know how I'm getting back up out of this. You're just stuck because you're just that worn out. You're that weary. Well, here's the thing. It's normal. It happens. We get tired or exhausted. Work can wear you out. Having kids, if you have kids of any age, that can do it. Other responsibilities, maybe you care for people, you volunteer, whatever your life circumstances are can make you weary. Or you're weary because you just don't want to experience something again, or you're tired of hearing something, you're just over it, right? Whether it's the arguing or posturing or a political topic or belief, or you're being told, right? We're in the new year, right? 2026, this is the way to be healthy. This is the way to parent your kids. This is the way to pastor your church. You're just done. You can't take it anymore. No more tweets, no more articles, no more TikToks. We're done. Now, when you're weary, do you make the best decisions? Sound, thought out, productive, rational? I don't. When I'm weary and I'm sitting in the chair and I can be like, man, for dinner, got all the stuff in the fridge to make that nice salad, right? Got the veggies, got the chicken. I'm not gonna have it. I'm gonna have a pizza with a side of Kit Kats and some ice cream for dessert. I'm not making rational decisions when I'm weary. Do you respond to people well when you're weary? You treat them with a ton of kindness? Do you treat them like Jesus, with grace and with patience? It's hard. What I want us to see tonight is weariness happens. See, we're not here tonight to say avoid weariness or doing something wrong if you feel that way, because it's normal. Okay, cool. So we're going to get weary. Weariness sounds kind of terrible. Jeff, you're kind of starting on a downer on Christmas Eve. So what do we do when we're weary? You make the cookie. You put the cookie together. You choose to make the cookie. As Christians, we rejoice. We choose joy. Making the cookie is choosing joy. We choose to be in the moment and in our circumstances, but to know that someone is with us and something is on the other side. Make the cookies, right? The ingredients, you look at them, life is stressful, you're busy, you're worn out, but you're like, okay, I'm going to choose to go through this. I'm going to choose to find that recipe. I'm going to take the time to go through it because, man, I know that in the end they're good. Like, I like baking. And once I get going, like, and in the end, I'm like, they're going to be soft, going to be a little chewy, little Christmas-style spicy. The kids are cheering for them. They know. So we choose to make them. Choosing joy is choosing to make the cookies. The shepherds chose joy in our story. They chose to go see the baby they were told about. They didn't have to. They could have felt like, there's no way that's for us. We're not going. But they chose to go. Even though the good stuff, the joyful stuff was never for them, they chose to go experience joy. We have to choose to experience joy. It's not a feeling that we can create. Happiness, that's a feeling or an emotion. Something causes that. We feel it. And at some point, it fades. But joy is a gift we choose to receive and a quality we choose to live in. It's that internal assuredness that we have a God who is good, a God who is present, and a God who is faithful. A God who's good. A God who sent his son that we remember this very night to set the world right. When everything seems bad, God is good. When everything went wrong, God can set it right. All the bad we see, the problems we encounter, they're not caused by him. They come because we're humans and we screw up because we're human. But God shows his goodness by coming near in Jesus and bringing us back to him. Then he's a God who's present. We're celebrating Jesus literally coming to earth tonight. His presence came to earth. And we still have that today in the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised when he ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God as our guide, our conviction, our compass, our connection. God's near and present, not distant and disconnected from us. And then God's faithful. He's dependable. He's reliable. He doesn't let us down. Ever heard the phrase, they don't make them like they used to, right? Think about my Grandpa Bob. I'm a good Midwestern guy. I got a Grandpa Bob. Loved his brand new old fashions. But Grandpa Bob worked in the automotive industry his whole life, and I got to believe he'd be churning in his urn hearing about how quickly cars break down. He'd be like, they don't make them like they used to, Jeff. Not like the ones I used to sell. God doesn't break down. He doesn't need new parts. He doesn't need a tune-up or an oil change to run well. He's faithful and just continues to be faithful and reliable. So we choose the joy that comes with knowing God is good, God is present, and God is faithful. And we have to choose it because we can't earn it. Can't earn it. No matter what you do, you can't earn joy. No matter how many good things you do, you can't earn joy. But you can choose it. It's a choice. It's a gift. So choose to choose that joy. And then live it out. We have to live out that joy in the real world. Right? We're here. Remember, God doesn't change the circumstance. He invades it. And so what does that mean? That means eat the cookie. Go ahead and eat it. If you haven't eaten it yet, great restraint if you haven't done it yet. You can. You don't have to, but you're welcome to. So you felt the weariness in life. You didn't want to do anymore, right? But then you made the cookie. Well, now enjoy the cookie. Live it out. Have it. Take a bite. Live in the world we're in. That's where I don't want us to miss the ending part of the story, where the shepherds returned praising God. See, the shepherds went back to work. Same job they had. Nothing else changed there except that they had the joy of Jesus. They went and praised and glorified God. They didn't get new stables. Nobody gave them free food for the flock. They didn't get a shower. They went back to the same circumstance, but it was different now because Jesus was a part of it. That's what happens. So we need to live it out. And the first way we do that is rest in it. Rest in it. Take the rest joy provides in whatever circumstances you're in, similar to hope and peace as we've talked about. That joy comes in the midst of the circumstance, and you can rest in it. Maybe life feels like go, 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 or intensity after intensity, or weight after weight continuing to be put on you. That's what the shepherd life was probably like for them. But take a breath. Knowing that you're not alone, that God is with you, and whatever is making you weary has nothing on God. And to rest in the joy, you need to take a few minutes to do that. You got to sit and just take a breath, right? There was a morning recently, I had our Christmas lights on in the living room early in the morning. None of the kids were up yet. And I kind of look around, and you know, the living room's a little messy. Kids' stuff is all over. But I could just kind of sit there and breathe for a few minutes with God. I put the phone down, actually put the coffee down, and just sat there. It took a minute to think about that joy. Take that rest. And then after you rest, take joy as a motivation to keep going. Joy motivates us through the circumstances we're in. See, God and joy, that's not a recruiter to get you a new job, not a realtor to get you a new house. Those things are great, but it changes your circumstance. Remember, joy comes in to the circumstance. It's the assuredness that there is more than those circumstances. It keeps us going. It tells us to not quit because God didn't quit on us. Sin and evil came into the world. What did God do? He sent his son to bring us back. God doesn't quit or give up on us. We need to not quit or give up with him. Choose joy and don't quit. Then share the joy. Share the cookies. Don't hoard them. Don't hoard the gift of joy. Share it. I remember years ago, we got my Grandma Betty, a Scrabble dictionary for Christmas. When she lived at the senior living before she passed away, there was a traveling Scrabble game they played. And I understand it got really intense. Like they had a traveling trophy, like it's a little stuffy. They all pushed around in their walkers. But one year we got her a Scrabble dictionary to help her. And I was like, Grandma, that's really nice. Like, we got this for you. You're going to, like, share it and show it to your friends? And she goes, goodness, no, Jeffrey Paul. Now, when she used full name, middle name, oh, boy. No, she wasn't going to share that. That was hers. Joy's not like that. The cookies aren't like that. We can share it. We should share it. And here's the thing. We don't give it out but we put it on display. That's how we share it. We let others see and choose that joy for themselves. We can't make somebody else see it or feel it or experience it, but they can make the choice like we do. So we show them what it looks like. We show them what joy does in our lives, how it gets us through, how it gives us rest, how it gives us comfort. That's how we share it. Showing and spreading true joy that is in Jesus is the best present you will give someone this year. So receive and give joy. We'll wrap up here. Don't ignore the weariness. It's going to come. It's going to happen. You aren't doing anything wrong for feeling it. But don't let it beat you up. Choose joy. Choose joy always when you're feeling weary and when you're not feeling weary. Bring that joy close. Let it remind you that God is good. God is present and faithful. That those circumstances of who God is are forever and your weariness is only temporary. Choose the joy that promises that and then live it out. Rest in it. Take a breath. Take a breath. Rest in that joy. And then be motivated by it. Don't quit. Keep going because you have God with you and his joy lasts for eternity. It lasts past the difficulties you're experiencing now. Don't ignore those circumstances, but live with joy in them. See them. Let God and the joy that Jesus brings tonight come into your circumstance. Joy doesn't change circumstance. It invades circumstance. Choose joy and choose Jesus tonight. Let's pray. God, thank you for tonight. As we look back at the story of your son's birth, God, but the joy that his presence brought, that in a weary world, God, it brought joy. It brought something new, something different. So God, I pray that whatever our circumstance are, for anybody here, we'd live in your joy. Maybe we love the circumstance we're in. God, I still pray we would all choose joy. Or if they're rough, if they're hard, if they're beating us down, God, that we would choose your joy. We would make that choice tonight. And with whatever else we're doing tonight and tomorrow to celebrate, God, I pray that it would be a joyful time, but that we wouldn't remember where our true joy comes from. So we thank you for tonight in your name.